Tonight we are continuing in our series through the book of Numbers, particularly this section of Numbers 11 through 14, showing the desert wanderings of Israel. And tonight we're going to be looking particularly at verses 13 through 19. But I'm going to read beginning at verse 11. And just to remind you of the context, the spies have come back with a report of the land, and 10 of the 12 spies say the giants in the land are too big. We must not go in there. Let's turn back to Egypt. And Caleb and Joshua stand up and say, "Let's go in. The Lord is with us, so don't fear them. The Lord is going to give us the land." And then we're told all the congregation rises up to stone them. So the Lord appears in verse 11 to respond, and that's where we'll pick it up. Listen now to God's word. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land, 'They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard of your fame will say, "It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give them to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great, as you have promised, saying, "The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now." This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask his blessing on it. Oh Lord, we thank you for this word that reveals to you who you are and what you have done for us and what you will do for us as our God. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word by your Holy Spirit, even tonight, to teach us how to pray and to teach us who you are and what your character is, Lord, that we might be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here in this passage, Moses is praying to the Lord. Moses is making intercession. He's pleading with the Lord. Because Israel is in a desperate situation. And as we read through Moses' prayer to the Lord, you've probably picked up, and particularly as you may have noticed from the title of the sermon, that Moses is reasoning with the Lord. Now, parents here, or maybe children, you think about times that you've gone to ask your parents for something. "Mom, Dad, can we go here tomorrow? Can I visit my friend tomorrow?" And then what do you do? You plead with them and you reason with them. "Mom, you know, if I spend time with my friend, then we'll be able to do this, or X, we'll be able to do Y. And remember, Mom, last time I asked you, you said that I could do Y or Z." You reason with your parents, right? As you're pleading them for something that you want. And Moses here is reasoning with God as he pleads for God's mercy on them. And you know, this reminds us that the Lord when we pray to the Lord, we're not praying to an abstract theological concept, but we're praying to a person. We're praying to God. And this passage tonight really teaches us about prayer. It's kind of a little school of prayer. And we'll see here that as Moses pleads with God, and as he reasons with God, his arguments, his pleas, are grounded in the character of God. They're grounded in God himself. So this teaches that when we plead with God, we can plead with him because of who he is. And when we plead with him, we ground our pleas in God himself. And we see this in three particular ways. We'll see that Moses here bases his plea on the reputation of God. And secondly, we see that Moses bases his plea on the promise of God. And thirdly, that he bases his plea on the character of God. The reputation of God, the promises of God, and the character of God. So first, Moses begins by pleading with God for his reputation. Verses 13 through 16. Moses says, "Do not destroy this people, as you have just threatened to do. Because if you do it, think about your reputation." He says, when you brought us out of Egypt, the Egyptians saw your mighty power. And they're going to be telling the people about the God of Israel. And they're going to tell the nations around them that God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is with these people. And, you know, that reminds us that God acts, right, for his glory. He saves his people in mighty ways to display his glory to the world. You see that in Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1. Three times as Paul is speaking about God's great salvation of his people, and he chose you before the foundation of the world to be adopted as sons of Christ. Paul says, to the praise of his glorious grace. And then two more times in that passage, right? God delivered you from your sin to the praise of his glorious grace. And he has given you the down payment of his Spirit to the praise of his glorious grace. God's interest in saving you is to praise and display his glorious grace. So Moses here pleads, and he says, the nations are going to know that you are with this people. But think about it. If you destroy this generation, people are going to be talking. You know, we heard about the mighty things the Lord did, and we heard that the Lord is with these people, but I guess he couldn't bring his people into the land, and so he just killed them in the wilderness because it was too much for God to bring him into the land. And Moses says, far be it from you that you should have such a reputation among the nations. O Lord, spare this people, forgive them of their sins, and bring them in for the sake of your name. Now, that's remarkable if you think about it for a moment. Moses, his first concern is the name and reputation of God. As we heard in verse 12, God was getting ready he was threatening to kill Israel, and he said to Moses, I'll tell you what, I will kill this generation, and then I'll make a new nation out of you that's greater than this nation, mightier. Now that, do you imagine what a deal that could have sounded like to Moses? I mean, think, wow. You know, think of the fame that I would get. You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine that the people would no longer be called the children of Israel or the tribes of Israel? They would be known as the tribes of Moses, right? For all of history, Jesus comes to save the Mosheites. And God is offering this to Moses. But Moses is not concerned for his name and for his greatness, or the greatness of his descendants, but he's concerned for the name of God and for the greatness of God's power and glory. And this reminds us of the Lord Jesus, does it not? This is exactly how Jesus taught us to pray, as we heard a little early in the service. He said, when you pray, pray with God's name in mind. Lord, hallowed be your name, and let your kingdom come, and your will be done for the sake of your glory. And this is how the Lord Jesus prays in his life and in his ministry. Right before he goes to the cross, there in John 17, he says, Lord, now my hour has come. Glorify me in the cross and the resurrection so that I might glorify you. Do this, Father, so that in glorifying me, I can bring glory to you. That was the Lord Jesus' purpose, to bring glory to his Father. And that's how Jesus, in the upper room with his disciples, just before he leaves, and he's instructing them on prayer. When I go, pray in my name. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Pray to the glory of God. Jesus was set on the glory of God's name. And Moses here is set on glorifying the name of God. And that's what he bases his prayer on. Lord, do this. So think about your prayers for a moment. What are the aim of your prayers? James says, one of the reasons that you don't have is because when you pray, you're praying simply to spend it on your own pleasures. But Moses, as we see Moses here, right, he's not praying for his own pleasure. He's praying for the name of God. And this is how Jesus taught us to pray. So that's how we should pray. That's how you should pray as God's people. Father, deliver me from this sin. Help me to walk in your Spirit so that people may see the power of your salvation in me. Let me be a testimony to the fact, O Lord, that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Father, give me patient endurance to encounter this difficult trial so that people might see the wonders of your strength and your glorious might. Father, the name of Jesus is associated with church, right? Our church bears the name of Jesus. So for the sake of the name of Jesus, let your holiness be seen in us. Let your power be seen in us. Let the joy of your salvation be seen among us so that people look and they magnify your name. Lest the people say, oh, God could not save this people. God could not bring great salvation to them. So we learn here to base our pleas to God on his reputation. But secondly, we see that Moses bases his pleas on the promises of God. There in verse 17, and now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised. As you have promised. What is the promise that Moses is referring to here? Well, he's referring to the promise that God would bring his people into the land. There in chapter 13, when the Lord sends the spies and he says, choose 12 men, one from each tribe, to go in and spy out the land that I am going to give you. And as they've been journeying through the wilderness, what has the Lord been telling them? Just as I promised to Abraham, I'm going to bring you into the land here. I'm going to give you this land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promise of God. And Moses here says, let the power of the Lord be great, as you have promised. Why does he say, let the power be great as you have promised? Well, because it was only through, there were giants in the land. It would only be through the power of God that the people could be brought into the land. But that's what God had promised. Through my power, I will bring you in. So Moses says, you've promised it, Lord.
Do it. Do it as you've promised. You ever pray like that? Lord, you've promised this, so do it. Do it just as you have promised in your word. Right. Lord, cause me to walk in your ways as you've promised. Provide, Lord, provide for our family as you've promised. You promised in your word that you would provide for all your children. So provide, Lord, as you promised. Or, Lord, you promised to give wisdom to all who ask of you. So I'm asking for wisdom. Give me wisdom, Lord, as you, just as you have promised. This is how the word teaches us to pray. Now, this is very important because you might be thinking, well, if God has already promised it, then why do I need to pray for it? Why do I pray for it? Well, because prayer is one of the means through which God delivers his promise. God had promised that he would bring the people of Israel into the land. Because of this rebellion here, God threatens to wipe them out and make a new nation out of Moses. But Moses pleads, Lord, you promised to bring your people in, so forgive your people and bring them in as you promised. And through that plea of Moses, the Lord accomplished, fulfilled his promise. So when we pray, base your prayers on the promises of God. Well, lastly, we see here that Moses, in his pleading with God, bases his prayers on the character of God. God, Moses' prayer for God to fulfill his promise is actually connected to the character of God. It goes on in verse 18, please bring in the people as you promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation. Lord, this is the character that you've revealed. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So according to that character, forgive this people and bring them in. Now to understand what Moses is, to fully understand what Moses is praying here, you actually need to remember something that happened at the beginning of their journey. Moses is actually reminding God of what happened at the outset of the journey. In Exodus 32, God brings them out of Egypt through the Red Sea in this mighty way, and then he brings them right to the mountain to give them his covenant, right, the law. And while Moses is up on the mountain, you remember, they create this golden calf, and they worship this golden calf. And so the Lord says to Moses, these people, right, are already straying from me. And then he tells them in Exodus 33, he says, go on into the land of the milk and honey, but my presence is not going to go with you. And then Moses says, Lord, I will not bring this people, I will not go into this land with this people unless your presence goes with us. And he pleads, Lord, let your presence go with us. And the Lord says, okay, my presence will go with you. And then the Lord says, Moses says to the Lord, can you give me an assurance, some assurance that you indeed, this is a stiff-neck people, as you said, but give me an assurance that you will bring them into the land, that your presence will go with us. And then that's when the Lord says, okay, I'm going to show you some of my glory. You can't see my face, but I'm going to pass, glory's going to pass by you, and I'll let you see the back of me. And as the glory of Moses is passing through, passing by Moses, the Lord speaks his name. He says, the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that's the assurance that he gives to Moses. Although this is a stiff-necked people constantly wondering, I am going to bring them in and my presence is going to go with you because I'm a God abounding in mercy and steadfast love. And so here they are now, on the brink of going into the promised land, and once again, the people rebelled, and the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to just destroy them and make a new nation out of you. And Moses says, remember your promise. You said, I am the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and I will bring them in, because that is my character. And so Moses here pleads based on that incredible character of God. Now, as you're reading this, you may have noticed what seems to be a little bit of tension here. Because if you go on, the Lord says, the Lord slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. Now, you might be thinking, well, if he's not going to clear the guilty, then how can he bring the people in after all and show them that mercy? Because they are guilty. Is the Lord merciful and steadfast and abounding in steadfast love and merciful? Or does he punish the guilty? You know, we sense a little bit of tension here. How can the people of Israel be shown the mercy and brought in if they're guilty? How can God be merciful and yet just? Because that's what this passage really is saying. The Lord is merciful and he's just. It's because of the cross of Jesus. Mercy and justice, they meet in the cross. And the punishment of the guilt of his people is poured out on the Son of God. So the Lord can bring his people, and the Lord brings his people in and pours out on them that forgiveness and that mercy. And so perhaps in your prayers, you're aware of your sin. You know, you want to go to the Lord and you want to ask for his blessing in your life. You want to ask for his work in your life. But you think, I just sinned again. I did that thing that I, for the 100th time, that I swore I would not do again. How could I possibly come to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness? Well, it's because the Lord has dealt with your guilt in the Lord Jesus. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that's what we see here at the end, as Moses says, please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love. Your sin may be great. You may have a past marked with serious sin, but it's not greater than the steadfast love of God. According to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. The Lord's steadfast love doesn't run out the third time that you sin, but his steadfast love is great. And so, Lord, you pray, Lord, forgive me according to your character. Work your salvation in me according to your character. Work in the hearts and the lives of my children according to your character, according to your promise. So that's how we can pray. That's how you can pray to the Lord. Pray to the end of his glory, for the sake of his glory. And pray, remind the Lord of his promises. Remind the Lord of his character. That's what we base our prayers on. And the Lord hears us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you indeed are a God who is abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. We thank you that you are a God who promised to save your people. You promised to save us, and you will bring that salvation to completion, that work in us to completion. And so we pray that you would, to help us, Lord, to pray and to remember your promise, to remember your character, and to desire Lord, the glory of your name, even as we pray. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.